Now, a 2019 Pew Research poll found that the U.S. Postal Service was the most favored federal agency by the public, ranking just above national parks and then NASA. 90% of people polled had a positive view of the Postal Service. But the USPS is and has been struggling in many ways. The last 13 years have brought continual debt, and the post office is on track to run out of money, by one estimate, by 2024. To add to the picture, the current Postmaster General is delaying her retirement while the search for her successor continues. There's been talk of privatizing parts of the Postal Service by the Trump administration. Rick Geddes is a professor of policy analysis and management at Cornell University and director of the Cornell Program in Infrastructure Policy. Rick, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for inviting me, Rob.
Can you talk about some of the challenges facing the U.S. Postal Service in recent years?
Yeah, sure. So there are several challenges. One is that the U.S. Postal Service has a high and fairly fixed cost structure. And by that, Rob, I mean that the United States Postal Service is required to deliver mail to just about every address in the United States 6 days a week. And it has to maintain a big delivery network in order to meet that. That's called the Universal Service Obligation. But on the other side of the equation, Rob, is the revenues that the Postal Service gets from its most profitable businesses, which are first class mail, and that's cards and letters, has been dropping over time. So you've got revenues falling. At the same time, it has this high and pretty rigid cost structure, and that leads to, you know, fiscal troubles, let's say. So the Postal Service losses in its fiscal 2019 year were about $9 billion, which was more than double the loss in the prior year.
We've seen those net losses. In 2006, a lot of people point to this. The U.S. Postal Service was required to pre-fund health care for future retirees. And some supporters of the Postal Service say that's an obligation that other agencies and other businesses don't have. Is that a part of the story here for these annual shortfalls?
Well, you know, you have to be careful when you talk about businesses. And, you know, certainly private businesses have to, cover the costs of their own employees. And, you know, with the retiree pre-funding is what they call it. It's for their retiree health care costs. It's useful to think of it. Somebody has to cover that cost. And it's either going to be paid by the ratepayers, that is, the big mailers that are using the Postal Service. And if you look at your own mail coming in, it's almost never a individual card or letter. It's usually big advertisers. Or is that going to be paid by taxpayers, right? So you have to think about which one is the more appropriate group. Under the current system, that's being covered more by ratepayers. And, you know, in my view, it's better for that to be covered by the mailers who are actually using the Postal Service than the general taxpayer.
Right. How much taxpayer money goes into the Postal Service currently?
Well, it's actually a good question, Rob. It's hard to calculate exactly that. I mean, they have a $15 billion essentially credit card with the Treasury, and that is maxed out, right? So they're in debt to the United States Treasury. There's also other ways that taxpayers, you know, help to subsidize Postal Service operations. They own a ton of land in the form of local post offices, sorting centers, et cetera, you know, and don't pay property taxes on that. There's certain regulations that don't apply, et cetera. So, you know, it's a lot of money, getting at least $15 billion, but getting it at an absolute number accurately is pretty tough.
Right. There isn't like a budget line like the Department of Defense where there's an allocation from Congress annually for the post office. Is that right?
No. So that's interesting, Rob. Back, you know, it used to be you just used the term post office, right? And now we call it the U.S. Postal Service. That change actually occurred in the 1970 Act, the Postal Reorganization Act, that created the new U.S. Postal Service out of the old post office. And prior to that, there was a budget line item, you know, to cover the cost of the post office, just like there was for the Department of Defense or something like that. But in the 1970 Act, the new Postal Service was supposed to cover all of its costs through the rates and fees that it charges to mailers. So, you know, it's kind of this break-even constraint that was imposed on the Postal Service ever since 1970. And, you know, that the idea was it was supposed to operate more like a commercial business ever since that time.
Talking to Rick Geddes from Cornell University about the U.S. Postal Service, struggles in funding in recent years, and the future. Now, let's look at, we've got a Postmaster General, Megan Brennan, on her way out, retiring. I think supposed to be done by now, delaying it as they search. How does one pick a new Postmaster General?
Well, you know, I think, Rob, the challenges facing the Postal Service today are very different than they were before. I mean, most people know that, you know, electronic communications has really taken a bite out of the Postal Service. In fact, first-class mail volume peaked in 2001. So that's been, and that's their most profitable class. That's some time ago. It's declined by over a third, well over a third since that time. So somebody is going to have to come in there who's really going to be able to manage the Postal Service in a more, I think, in a more commercial way. And, you know, take it, I think privatization is, you know, is extreme, if by that they mean actually selling it, which is the accurate use of that term, as opposed to things like commercializing it and deregulating it, which is what most other posts around the world have done. That means reducing the monopoly power, so there's actually a legally mandated monopoly over the delivery of anything defined as a letter. But also, you know, the Postal Service has a number of other regulatory benefits, but also regulatory constraints. So I think getting it to operate more like a regular business, maybe adjusting the delivery days per week, if Congress would allow that, to help the Postal Service manage through this this transition, really.
Now, we've talked to you about these issues in the past, and even these little tweaks around the edges, like cutting back on a day of delivery or anything like that, it gets a lot of pushback. Is this politically hard to do, to change the way our postal system operates?
Rob, it's extremely hard to do. The Postal Service has asked Congress for permission to cut back. I think, you know, the lightest mail day of the week is actually Tuesday. So it would make sense to, you know, cut off Tuesday delivery as mail volumes decline, maybe Tuesday and Thursday, delivering 3 days a week, et cetera. Or I should say a minimum of 3 days a week. Postal Service could deliver more days a week, right, if it wanted to. But that would ease up this universal service obligation that I mentioned and allow the Postal Service to, you know, to save some costs, which is critical in light of these revenue declines that I mentioned.
One angle that's a little newer for the USPS is the Amazon factor. The USPS does a lot of delivery for Amazon. The president has been critical of the rates they charge in their current deal with Amazon. How does that factor into all of this?
Yeah, well, that's a big issue, Rob. And it's, you know, there's a big question of to what degree parcel delivery in general, not just for Amazon, but parcels in general, are, you know, covering their what we call marginal cost, which is the cost of delivering that package, plus some contribution, you know, to the whole Postal Service system. And so, you know, economists like me want those rates that they charge for parcel delivery to be accurate. And there's a big debate about whether those costs are properly allocated to parcels. Clearly, you know, it's helped the Postal Service, I think, to have that parcel delivery increase. But, you know, really it's bread and butter is the delivery of what we call first class mail and then standard mail. And standard mail is really the advertising materials like catalogs and things like that. So, you know, if those core businesses are declining the way we've seen, you're going to have to undertake some major reforms to have the Postal Service survive.
Rick, a lot to watch here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Rick Geddes, professor of policy analysis and management at Cornell University and director of the Cornell Program in Infrastructure Policy. He joins us to talk about the U.S. Postal Service, their search for a new Postmaster General, and what options they might have for the future. Not privatization, he thinks, but maybe some different commercial looks, changes to the way they operate coming in the future.